You might like to turn in your Bible as we open our prayer meeting to Jeremiah and chapter 1. Jeremiah and chapter 1. And in our study of Jeremiah, we're in chapter 23, but in order to get there at the moment, remember Jeremiah. God chose him as a young man and equipped him. You'll pick it up in Jeremiah chapter 1 again in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Jeremiah, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now here's the thing you want to lock on to in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I have given you my words. So Jeremiah, like Moses, like Aaron, all of them, is going to be God's mouthpiece, his spokesman. God's going to communicate through the man Jeremiah. His word. Now hang on to that. Now, in the light of that communication, if you would, slide over the responses. You need to catch that part. Chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, in verse 29 to get the flavor of it. And you'll notice, please, chapter 5, verse 29. Shall I not visit these things? This is Israel's not, Jerusalem, Judah is not doing good. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged? Think of our study on Joshua, the next of kin, the avenger of the of blood. And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful, polluted is the word. A wonderful, appalling, a good word. A wonderful, horrible thing is committed in the land. Now what is that? Verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. By their means means hand in hand with the prophets. The prophets, the people, and the priest are all in cahoots together. They're all in agreement of what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. The prophets, verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their means, they're literally hand in hand. Think of holding hands in agreement. Agreement. We agree. We're in agreement together. And my people love to have it so. What will you do? What will you do in the end thereof? When I let this judgment fall on Jerusalem, what are you going to do then? When I let that happen. Now, having said that, Jeremiah has given his word. The people are not interested in the word of Jeremiah, God. They're interested in the priests, the prophets, the people, as we've shared. Now, over to chapter 18. And the people, as we shared, have an attitude towards the leadership, government, and they exercised it. And in chapter 18, picking up in verse 17, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them my back, the back and not the face, in the day of their calamity. In other words, God's going to judge them. Their response to that, verse 18. Then said they, come and let us devise a devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us give heed. Let us not give heed to any of his word. We don't want to hear any words. We reject all his words, totally. And if we took, well, you can slide down to verse 20. Shall evil be recompensed for good, said Jeremiah, for they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away their wrath from them. Jeremiah, you tried to help them. What was their response? Kill them. Kill them. That's their response. Now hang on to that. Now, that gives you a reminder of how it's been going year after year after year, deeper and deeper. So when you come to chapter 23, and remember now, our Lord, we share together in verse 7 and 8, as the Lord liveth, compared to the crossing of the Red Sea, in the light of verse 8, when God shall regather the Jews from all over the world, and he comes again in the end of the tribulation, and he'll gather them all together. And he said, that's something you thought I did something wonderful, awesome at the Red Sea. Watch what I do when I come. And I'm going to take from all over this globe, planet Earth, and bring them all together. Just go do that, just like that. They're all going to come together. Wow. They don't even need an airplane ticket. No airplane tickets. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, that is the movement now. Remember, we shared in verse 21, 22, 23. The kings. Remember, we're looking now. God is taking us, as we come to the end of, middle of, and onward in Jeremiah, he's going to show us how each thing went. It went from bad to worse to worse to worse. And he takes the king, and then the next kings in order, and we did them. And now what's he going to, and he did the leadership. He did the leadership, chapter 23 and verse 1, the pastor's leadership. And now he did the kings. Now he's going to look at the prophets and the priest. And he's looking at them and telling you, as he sums up in the writing, how it went. They had no interest at all. And he's demonstrating it and recording it so that when you come to Jeremiah and the destruction Nebuchadnezzar and the destruction of Jerusalem, you aren't going to be surprised. God, we just read it in chapter 5. When the end comes, should you be surprised? You shouldn't be surprised at all. You should be surprised I waited this long. Now, therefore, so now comes verse 9 in the light of that. So remember, they had the man, the false hopes, they had all of these. So Jeremiah is now going to express himself as this is all going along. Mine heart within me is broken, because, what reason? Because of the prophets, all my bones are shaking, trembling. I am like a drunken man, intoxicated, and like a man whom wine has overcome. Why? Because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness, God's person and word. And I'm looking out, and the prophets, and you're going to pick it up in verse 11. I'll read that. For both prophet and priest are profane, common, yea, not holy, not holy at all. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. So Jeremiah, you're looking at the prophets and the priests, and they're going at you, hammering away day in and day out, week after week, all these years. Now, and therefore I shake, I shudder, and I do it. Now, what is the cause? The cause is they're out there doing what they're doing. They're facing Jeremiah. They've surrounded him, literally. He's all alone. And they surrounded him. There's nowhere he goes that he isn't surrounded by unbelievers. And they mock him, hate him, try to kill him, some of them. And there they are. Now, in the process of that, as he is standing there, what is it? No, God said, Jeremiah said, I want you to know what the issue was. The issue was God and his holy word. Why were you facing this, Jeremiah? Because of God and his holy word. That's why. Now, look at that. Think about that for a minute, and let us do so. Now, so here we are looking, I'm as a drunken man, etc., etc. Now, here's Jeremiah, surrounded, and the prophets and the priests, as we shared, are all hammering away at negative against everything. He's trying to help them, trying to warn them, trying to encourage them, trying to tell them to look to God, but they aren't doing it. All they're doing is blasphemy, speaking against him, doing everything. It's awful. What they say and how they say it, wow, it's what they're doing. Now, and he's surrounded by that. And so he's receiving that on an ongoing basis. And for him, not for everybody, but for him, it's something else. It's a terrible thing. He's here, and God's here, and he's in the middle, and the enemy's hitting me on this side, and then the God's on this side, and they're coming, and he's smack in the middle of this. I'm like a drunken man. I'm caught in the middle. Why? Because of God and his holy word. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now, here's Jeremiah. We want to try to figure out why this is true for him, but not true for others. Why is it true for him? So now, therefore, in order to get that a little bit, And in doing that, go over with me, please. One other thing you need: the prophets, in the days of the 10 kings, the 10 tribes in the north, not Jerusalem and Judah, but the 10 tribes in the north. They went off on their own under Jeroboam, and went into big time idolatry. And we shared together, or at least noted, that the 10 tribes in the north were noted for their worship of Baal, not God. They turned from God to Baal. That's what they're noted for, just to see it. Over, if you would, over to 1 Kings, if I can. For time's sake, instead of 16, all of them, you can go to any one of them. Jeremiah, 1 Kings chapter 18, may I go to verse 19. Now remember Elijah up there and the prophets and Jezebel, and you'll pick it up instantly. Chapter 18 and picking up in verse 19. 18:19. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel. This is Elijah. And gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And you keep reading, these are the ones that have to go, all of them, 850 of them, against Elijah. And guess who wins? Elijah wins. Guess who kills them all? Elijah. That's a big job, if you ask me. He did it. Now, so what? Baal. What did the 10 tribes of the north do? They worshiped idols straightway. But in Jerusalem, that's not so. So when we come over, because you're looking at the priest and the prophets that are opposing Jeremiah. But what are they? They aren't talking about Baal. No, they aren't doing that. Their whole emphasis is in another way. Now, therefore, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 14. Jeremiah and chapter 14, if you would. And picking up in thought, if I may, in verse 13. 14:13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, because I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. So the prophets and priests were not looking at idols. They were creating as if God, they're using God, they aren't even connected to God, but they're using God for the people to get deceived. God said this, and God wants this. And God, you'll never see the sword. Nebuchadnezzar will never come in. That's from God, but it isn't from God. That's the difference between the prophets and the priest in the two tribes in the south versus the 10 tribes in the north about Baal. Now, that's important, I think. Now, having said that a little bit, and you could go all the way down on that, and in over in chapter 23. And in chapter 23, may pick up in verse 21 just to see it a little bit. I have not, 23:21. This is a little bit ahead, we're going there. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. They're doing everything in my name, having no connection to me whatsoever. That's a deception, isn't it? Baal's clear cut. But to say you're of God, spiritual, you're with it. I love God. I love His Word. You're all crooks, bad guys. Does anyone remember the, you know all this, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11 of that. And his ministers are servant ministers of righteousness, angel of light, false apostles. Deception. You can't come across with the devil with a big red thing, you know, with horns and everything. You can't do that. I mean, everyone knows that. How do they learn that? From the devil's food can. That's how they know that. They know that. That's why they know. That's what a devil looks like. Now, so here we are. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, now, in the light of the difference in the prophets, and because of God's awesome, awesome holiness and His Word. So that's exiting out of His wonderful person. And in verse 10, remember, that this is what, for the land, the problem, for the land is full of adulteries, and because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places in the wilderness of the wilderness are dried up. Their courses is evil, and their force is not right. The whole atmosphere and mood of the things you can see and the things you can't see is bad. It's not good. Now, not at all. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and Jeremiah has to face all of this on an ongoing basis, opposition, day in and day out. That's what he faces. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now you need to get a little quick thought to keep in your head. Here's Jeremiah, and he's having this struggle in here, in his heart, because God in him and his word coming out of him is going against, head on, against everything and every prophets, priests, kings, people. It's all against him. That's something else. Now, in order to catch that a little bit ahead, so we at least touch it, go with me over to Luke. Luke and chapter 19. And you would recall our Lord get there. Luke chapter 19, and may I pick up in thought, you'll catch it directly. Remember, he's looking at Jerusalem coming in. It's his last week. He's going to be crucified. They're looking at Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. He's looking down. Here he is. And what did he do? Chapter 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, sobbed over it. Not just a trickle, a little tear. He wept. He wept. Now, what was it? What was so terrible? God told them all they had to do is believe him and honor him, and they'd be blessed. And all they're going to do is what? Crucify him. That's all they're going to do. They're going to crucify him. Do you know how hard that is when you have light and right and everything is real, reality, and the people in front of you don't see it? They don't understand it. And what you're saying and trying to help them is the reality, and that they don't want to hear about reality. They don't want to see reality. They hope it never comes. And that's what they do. What do you do? He wept. What a sad thing. Now I'll do it personally, from the city to a person. Over to, over if you would, over to John. John and chapter 11. Again, as you would know, John chapter 11. Picking up, please. In verse 35, John 11, and remember, Lazarus died. That's not a problem. Yeah, just your brother's dead. No, that's not a problem. Don't make it a problem. Oh, he died. No, and here's Martha, and here's Mary. And Mary, do you understand? I told you, don't make a big issue. It's relax. Death isn't a problem. Why not? Because, verse 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, never, never die. Believest thou this? You'll never die. So what are you worried about? Well, he died. He died, but he didn't die. The body's dead, and we wrap him up and put him in a tomb. But he didn't die. He isn't gone. He isn't moved. He isn't disappear. So what do you got? Here's Mary weeping away. He said, I've been with you all this time. I even, of all the houses I go to visit and have lunch and supper, it's your house, and you don't know me. Therefore, verse 35, Jesus what? He wept. There's your word. What a sad thing. You should have known better, but you didn't. And you made a big fuss and a big issue when you didn't need to. That's very sad. in the reality that Lazarus was quite safe and in God's will, quite comfortable. But she couldn't see that. Now, you got that little flavor of that? Now, back over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. Remember now, he's surrounded by all of the people and everything. And the people, got to emphasize now, the people are not knowledgeable of God. They have no personal, profitable relationship. Do you see the dust? No. There must not be any dust. I don't see any dust. There must not be any. Okay. They didn't have any knowledge of God. Hang on to that. Jeremiah, God's in him, God's word's in him, and he's facing straight on the people who have no reality whatsoever. And he does. Now, and therefore, in order to illustrate that, remember now, one of the words for, think of in Timothy, herald the word of God. A herald means that you're going to take the whatever it is the king gives you, and you take it in your hand, and you go to the town or village, and you don't talk about what you think about it. You read it, and then post it up in the door. You don't play with it. You just do it. Now, that's a herald. Now, imagine that, if you can, a herald, think of that. And here's the king, here's a king, imagination, a king, and here's the herald goes out, and to meet the people, and the people are out there, and he got the message from the king, and he reads it, going to read it to them, and don't bother reading that to us, we don't care about that. You can put it up on the board, but we aren't going to pay attention to it. We'll even take it down. Why is that so easy? Now, the herald can't do that because he just left the king. But they don't see the king. The king to them is in that castle up there on a hill somewhere. Oh, they don't know the king. The king, who's the king? So they have no problem at all. They don't have any problem rejecting it. They have no knowledge of the king. The herald does, but they don't. So how easy is it to hear the word of God and out? Because there's no sense of God. And if there's no sense of God, we're hearing the word, and it isn't going to go. It's easy to play with it, ignore it, walk away from it. Where is God? Anyway, see? Now, to do it another way, maybe, that would help. It's a school time and all of that, and I assume in the right place at the right time, there's a school monitor. They still have them, monitors, out there, and they put their little sign up, stop, you know, and they do that, and the children cross the street and all of that to school, and they do that. And here comes the driver along, and the driver's late from something, and he spilt his coffee over his shirt, and he's coming. So here he comes down the road, and the lady puts a man or lady puts up the sign, stop, and he looks and right through. Why could he do that? It says stop. The children are there, because. What authority does she have? She has authority, and she's holding up the stop sign. But this, right through. Now, reenact it. Here he comes again, and he spilt the coffee and didn't have any breakfast. So we've added to his problem. And here he comes down the road, and there's the lady. And there happens to be a little cruiser over there with lights blinking away across the street. Now, do you think he's going to just go through that stop sign? Not likely. If he's smart, he won't go through because authority's there. Authority is there to back her up. And when authority's there to back her up, and the people, and the guy sees, assuming it's a guy, the guy sees the squad car, police car, he's going to honor that. Now the people, if the people, here's the king and here's the herald, and here's the king, and the herald's there. Now, and if the herald brings his message, and if the people that he brings the message to are conscious of the king in the castle up there, and they're conscious of him, so they know the king is there. So when the herald reads his thing, do you know that herald has a little more oomph to him? And he does it. Why? The people are aware of the king, where the letter came from. Jeremiah, are the people aware of God, where you're saying? No. They're listening to the prophets, priests, and everybody else. They aren't paying attention to me up there, to God. That's why. Now, you got that part. So Jeremiah is in it. That's where Jeremiah is. Jeremiah is fully, boom, loaded. And he's coming out, and the people aren't having, they don't, there's no, where's God? What are you talking about? It's easy. But if they had God, and they're conscious of God, we're in his presence. And if you're really conscious of God, man, you pay attention to that book. It's different. Now, so in the light of that, over to, if I can, to 1 John. We're going to skip a little bit, but trust, I just want to catch some of this anyway. I think it's helpful, I hope. 1 John. It isn't often understood, and it will help you understand why people don't understand. It'll help you understand why people don't want to understand. So no matter how clear something is, and our Lord, if anyone could speak clearly, it was our Lord. And they didn't understand him. They didn't understand him because they didn't have a sense of God, where he came from. Now, so here's 1 John. And here's 1 John. And 1 John tells us, as you know, that we ought to go. And picking up in verse 3, that which we have heard, seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and him is no darkness at all. Hang on to that. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. On the other hand, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, so here we are looking, and here's the believing heart, the believer, the child, the one that received the Lord as his Savior, which you're talking about. And that person that receives the Lord as a Savior receives the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Now, what do we know when the person receives the light of the world? We know that the world system that the person was in unbelief associated with loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They are of the mindset of Isaiah 5, will put darkness for light, and light for darkness, will turn it all upside down. They're that way. Now, when you come to the light, come to know the Lord as your Savior, he's the light of the world. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the life, and he is the light. And he brings that. So when he brings, think without turning there, 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 6 and that. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's the light. And He brings an understanding of what? Light reveals. Darkness conceals. When light comes in, He's the light, and He lights, helps you to see what you can't see and don't understand. And when He comes in, He helps you understand a knowledge of the wonderful God and Savior that He is. And you receive Him as your Savior. Wow. Now, I forgot my little light, so you have to forgive me. I had plenty of time to remember it, and I did. I almost would take this light and do it, but I don't need to, I don't think. So, here we are, and I'm going to turn that, well, I won't do it. Here's the light. Use your imagination again. You already got you with kings and castles, so you should be able to stay right with it. Now, so here we are, and when a light comes, if you could go in there, down my throat, esophagus, and sit down in my stomach, guess how much you'd see? You'd know a lot's going on down there, but hey, you aren't going to see anything. Is it dark? Not no, dark. When you go and put the light down, does the light make things different? It helps you to see. Isn't this light? What does this light do? It helps you to see. You can't see. Turn the light on, you see nothing. You feel your people there, but you can't see anything with no light. So therefore, when we receive the light, we walk in the light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. So when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I receive Him who is the light of the world. And when I receive the light of the world, and I look to Him, He lights up. And what does He do? He helps me. Helps me what? Understand. I can look at the time. Helps me understand about myself. He doesn't change. He just helps me see it. That's all. That's what light does. If you put the light in there, it helps you see. You can see all the stuff. A light. God, what do you do spiritually? What's going to happen to me if I walk in the light? I'm going to see what? I'm going to be able to say, like Paul, ultimately, more and more and more, in me dwelleth what? No good thing. Verse 24, 7, 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? First John, you're right here. What are you going to know if you walk in the light? The light's going to shed. It's going to help you understand. It's inside of you, your own nature, so you can handle it. Therefore, 1 John 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Deceive ourselves. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So God, if I let the light shine in my heart, I'm going to see what I see the reality of inside of me. Now that's hard enough. And then if I have that light, and I'm, look, God, You're doing a work in my heart, and I understand You're really, really safe. You really, really forgive sin. You really, really are God. I know that. So now someone says something, I read something, I'm going to say it. But I'm very conscious of God saving me in the light of my old nature. I'm looking at it. I feel it. I know it. I know. So when I speak, He's behind it. So it's real. It isn't just a reiteration of a truth, and you hear it, and it's a good outline and a good thought. No, it's for real. And the people, if they don't have a God consciousness, they won't get it. No more than anyone else does. But if they're conscious of God as they sit in congregations, they're going to be conscious of the message. They're conscious of the messenger. They're looking for God. That's why you're here, looking for God. Here we are. No. But the people don't I don't know. I watch them. They don't. I don't know God. Yeah. Eh. I don't expect them. Why should they? And then if I get up here, people get up here, any of us, anyone, anywhere in the world, and they get up, and they could bring a great message. As long as, and the message can be the same thing I'm doing right now, reading it. But you know what? If they aren't conscious of God, and the people aren't conscious of God, and you don't, do it a different way. If I'm reading it, and I don't have the light on, the light inside. If the light isn't on inside, I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing me. I'm not seeing my words, my thoughts, my deeds. No, I'm not. Nope, I'm in the dark. And in him is no darkness at all. So, and you just read. You say everything's right here. 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? What you just say, read it for yourself. We lie. You aren't doing the truth. We lie. And do not the truth. You're lying to yourself. That's what you're doing. Well, no, I'm not. I feel that. God said it. Because what is fellowship? I'll read that. Wonderful. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, his John and all of them, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're walking in the light as he is in the light and you're having fellowship, the blood of Christ cleansing us, I'm conscious of God. I'm very conscious of God. A fellowship. That's what it says, doesn't it? How can you walk in the light and not be in fellowship? The only way to do it is turn out the light. Turn it out. Then you can go to work, home, school, and be fine. But to turn it back on again, now you've got to see yourself. And we don't like doing that. No one likes doing that. And Jeremiah, what are you doing? You're talking to a people that don't even know God. And they are fiery and furiously after you. And you have what? And they don't know the reality of what you're saying. You're in the presence of God who said it, who's going to do it, and you know it. You know the king is going to do it. The people don't care. The guy, Harold, bringing the message, he knows it's going to be. The believing heart knows these truths are real. And they're real. Oh, I don't know they're real. Well, if you were God conscious, you're going to know. You're going to know. It isn't just a bunch of words. God backs them up with his presence. And man, that's what Jeremiah has. That's why he has, I'm like a drunken man. I'm pressed with awe. I have to keep telling the people, and they don't want to hear it, don't want to believe it. And God isn't quitting. And so I know God's real. I turn this way. God, you are real. And mean it. And I turn this way, and we don't want to hear it. And I'm in the middle. Wow. You got it? It's awesome. It's Jeremiah. It's how it works. And people say, we'll talk about it. Baloney. If your heart's right, you don't talk about it. You just absorb it. That's what you do with these words. They're awesome, wonderful words. And you absorb them. And God helps you.